ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I sincerely welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for our annual festival of Pushyabhishek. I think for every person in the temple, there's three times more people in the courtyard watching on screens. Wherever you may be, welcome. This morning, we're reading a verse from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which specifically told us when Lord Ram and Sita were passing through the streets of Ayodhya, the residents of Ayodhya, dressed in their nicest garments, went on tops of roofs and palaces and terraces, showering Ram and Sita with flowers and flower petals. And we cited the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam palam toyam yobe bhakta prayachchati. Krishna tells, if one offers to me with love and devotion, even a leaf, a piece of fruit, a flower, or some water, these are items that anyone, regardless of one's position, can easily obtain. Krishna says, I will accept it. Not only does he accept it, but he takes great pleasure in receiving offerings of love. The Lord is Atmarama. That means forever self-satisfied. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the proprietor of everything that exists. The Gita tells, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matya sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and all spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Krishna is Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Everything about his supreme personality is ever-existing, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of ecstasy. Rasa Bihari, who is forever exchanging the highest mellows of love. So Krishna does not need anything from us. But one of the great mysteries of the spiritual science is how the Lord, who is unconquerable, agrees, in fact takes great happiness in being conquered by the love of a devotee. This morning, so many different kinds of people from different parts of the world, some illiterate farmers, some PhD engineers from IIT. In fact, we have a PhD from Penn State University in our farm who has dedicated his life to getting energy from cow dung at our farm. It's always covered with cow dung. People from different colors, from different religions, from different backgrounds of all sorts, rich, poor, all sitting together in circles, plucking petals from flowers. Something anyone and everyone can do. But yet, this simple way of communicating is actually what brings hearts together in a real way. We can have our League of Nations and United Nations, which have their use, no doubt. We could make complex legislations, alliances, agreements. And it could make things a little less bad. But to make things actually really good, real communication is based on the simplest things of the heart. And the deepest, most profound, highest sciences and philosophies are meant for us to appreciate those really simple things. Srila Prabhupada said that real spiritual life is simple for the simple and very complicated for the complicated. And what creates complications is when we have ulterior motives. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one beautiful purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita that pure love of God is very, very rare. But it's easily given by Krishna for one who is sincere, serious, and has no ulterior motives. It was a beautiful sight, seeing everyone together. Actual equality. Before God, we're all just a bunch of flower petal pickers. And we're happy to be so. And in doing so, we can actually see the beauty in each other. Because there's not much to impress. Yes? Sometimes in certain things we do, we want to show off. We want to impress people that I'm better than you. I can sing better than you. I can dance better than you. I could speak better than you. I could dress the deities better than you. I could cook better than you. I could manage better than you. But as far as picking flower petals, I was watching. There wasn't really much difference between anybody. The children, the grandparents, the PhDs, the rich, the poor, everyone was picking their petals. And the consciousness that the accumulation of all these flower petals together, each particular petal an offering of an expression of my intention to please the Lord, to please everyone else, and to show my love. The more petals, the more pleasure. And this is the idea of Sankirtan. When many people come together in a very simple and honest way to combine our hearts in kirtan, in the chanting of the God's holy names, then it's like a shower of many petals of our devotion. And that is really what kirtan is meant to do. To raise us above all of the egoistic, selfish distractions that we're so often victimized by within and without. and to take shelter of this higher divine power which has come in the sound vibration of God's names, the mantras. And when we unite, it's like a shower of each one of our hearts is like a petal being offered to the Lord. And we all become one in spirit. That is the spirit of today's festival. Just like when cooking for Krishna, the crescendo is when we actually take the efforts of all the devotees who have cooked, who have cut the wood, who have, because I'm used to cooking on wood, where you cut the wood, where I used to live. Buying the vegetables or picking the vegetables from the garden, cutting them, putting it in the pans, spicing it, and putting it on the Lord's plates. But the crescendo is when he actually offer it. And everything we've done has all culminated together as an offering of love. And in the same way, we have all made this preparation. Have any of you been out there to see the baskets of flower petals? So many colors and fragrances. And how many tons this year? 1 ton. How many kilos is that? It's 1,000 kilos or 2,000 pounds, depending on your calculation. But it's not like it feels like a ton for Krishna, because flower petals, even if it's a ton, it's very light. It's a mystical thing. Soft. We were talking from Ram's Leela about this principle of simple offerings of devotion, how they please the Lord. I'd like to tell, with your permission, a few more stories from the great Vedic literatures. 5,000 years ago, just before the Kali Yuga began, Lord Krishna manifested his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Krishna revealed his most intimate lila, or personal loving exchanges with his devotees, as a very simple little cowherd boy, the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And when Krishna was just a very small child, the Bhagavad Gita says, Janama Karma Chame Divyam, that one who understands the transcendental spiritual nature of my appearance and activities in this world will never take birth again in this world. Although the Lord is unborn, for our sake, he's born. If we say God is unlimited, how can you say he's born? Well, to say he can't be born is limiting him. God could do anything, achintya shakti, in any way. So when he was just a little boy, he used to watch his mother. They didn't have currency in those days. They would barter, trade one thing for another. So this lady came out from the forest. She was just a simple tribal lady, and she came from the forest with a big basket of fruit. She cried out very loudly, if anyone in Vrindavan would like some fresh fruit, please come and buy my fruits. And little Krishna Gopal heard her speak, and he really wanted some fruits. So he went to his mother's storage of grains, wheat grains, and took a handful. But his hands were only very tiny, little child. He was only about 3 or 4, like that. Not even. He was only about 3. He went running, 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 running. But as he was running, all the grains were coming from between his fingers and falling to the ground. And by the time he came to the fruit vendor, there was only two or three little grains in his tiny little hand. And he held it out and said, "Please give me fruits. Here is my payment." And the fruit vendor looked at this little child. He was so beautiful. His smile was so captivating. His large, lustrous eyes were overbrimming with love, with compassion. Her heart totally melted. She said, "Child, take as many fruits as you like. Which fruits do you like?" And Krishna went like this, and she filled his arms with as many fruits as he could possibly carry and more. And she was just so happy. She was making nothing. She was simply giving out of love. She didn't even know he was God. She just thought he was a little boy, but she wanted to make him happy. And Krishna ran home. And then she turned toward the basket. And she saw that the entire basket was overflowing with diamonds, rubies, emeralds, gold, silver, precious jewels and metals. But that wasn't the real wealth she received. The basket of her heart was overflooding with the jewels of ecstatic spiritual love, prema, prema bhakti, the ultimate perfection. Prema pumartha mahan, the scripture says, of all goals, prema, or unconditional, unmotivated love, is the ultimate. Later on, Krishna spent many years as a cowherd boy exchanging love with the gopis and the gopas, playing his flute, just to attract the hearts of all living beings. And then he went to Dwarka for the purposes of showing compassion to the people in this earth. In the island of Dwarka, he became like a great king in magnificent palace. And while he was living there, an old friend of his from childhood who hadn't seen him in many, many years, his name was Sudama. He lived in a place called Purbandar, which is in Gujarat. Not that far from Dwarka. It's actually between Dwarka and Prabhaskshetra. And interestingly, Mahatma Gandhi was born in the same village as Sudama Vipra. You can go there if you like. We can take you there. I haven't been there in a while. It's a very special, holy place. He was so poor materially, but so rich spiritually. Sudama just lived in a tiny little thatched hut in a little field. And he hardly had a couple sets of clothes, and they were very old and torn and tattered. And he would go out to beg for food. He was a Brahmin. He was absorbed in studying scriptures and doing his spiritual practices. And his wife was just like that. She had very, very meagerly clothes. They hardly ate anything. Very, very poor materially. But immersed in chanting God's names and meditating on the Lord, on doing seva, puja. His wife felt very sorry that why should my husband be so skinny? He doesn't get enough food. and his clothes are so old, and I want to get him new clothes, but I don't have any way to get him new clothes. She wasn't thinking of herself. She was just thinking of him. She was satisfied. And he was satisfied. He was thinking of her. It was a very lovely relationship. Again and again, she said, your old friend, who you haven't seen in so many years, is living in Dwarka, and I was told that he has beautiful palaces. And not only that, he's the Supreme Lord, and he's the husband of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, who's living with him in the form of Rukmini. He doesn't want to see you so poor and so hungry and so skinny with these old clothes. Just go to him. He'll give you anything you want. And Sudama would always reply, we shouldn't go to the Lord to ask him for things for us. We should go to the Lord to ask what I can do for you. So they never argued, but she always wanted him to go, and he never went. So finally, she wanted him to go only because she wanted him to be happy. And ultimately, he went only to make her happy. This is a type of competition. It's very nice, but not very common. So he said, all right, I'll go. He was thinking, even if I don't ask for anything, I'll get to see Krishna again. I haven't seen him for so long. I'll get to see Krishna again. So he told his wife that I can't go without giving a gift to him. He's the Lord. Do we have anything we could give him? And she looked around the house, and they didn't have anything. But she went out and begged, and she got 4 handfuls of chipped rice. Do you know what chipped rice is? It's not a very luxurious type of rice. It's the cheapest rice. Chipped rice is what people will give the poorest beggars. Because usually that's, you want to give them the thing that's worth the least. Dry chips of rice. Not even whole grains, just chipped up rice. Usually at the very bottom of a barrel. So she put it in a piece of cloth and tied a knot around it and gave it to him, and he put it around his shoulder. And he walked many, many kilometers from poor Bandur to Dwarka. And as he approached, he saw magnificent gates and walls. He went through them, and he saw incredible palaces. And although he was very simple, in tattered clothes, very skinny little guy, he was given entrance into the very inner sanctum of the main palace of Dwarka. And there, Lord Krishna was sitting on a bedstead with Rukmini, the supreme goddess of fortune, the feminine aspect of the divine. They were together. And as soon as Lord Krishna saw Sudama, he got up from his seat and he bowed down to Sudama. Now when he got up, he embraced Sudama with so much love and affection. And he took the little skinny body of Sudama and put that body on his own bedstead. Then he got water, warm, scented water with flower petals, and very carefully washed his devotee's feet. Then took the water that he washed the feet of Sudama with and sprinkled on his own head and on Rukmini's head. Feeling that I'm becoming purified by getting the water from the feet of such a beautiful devotee. Then he offered aarti. He offered incense and lit lamps to his devotee. Then he arranged for wonderful prasad. Nice, nice food. something that Sudama hadn't eaten in decades. And Krishna was personally serving him and giving him more and asking, what more can I give? And meanwhile, Rukmini had a fan, a chamara tail fan, and she was very carefully, lovingly fanning Sudama. This fanning with the yak tail is a symbol of humble service. Rukmini is the source of all wealth, of all fortune, and she's humbly serving a penniless beggar because of his devotion. Then they talked. Wonderful talks, the Srimad Bhagavatam. They go into a lot of nice philosophy. And Krishna was reminding Sudama, do you remember when we were very young, many years ago, we both lived in the ashram of Sandipani Muni, who was our guru. And we were learning so many things from him, from so many subjects, character, philosophy, arts, sciences, spiritual practices. Do you remember those days? And do you remember the time when our Guru Mata, the wife of our Guru, she sent us to get firewood in the forest. And we went deep into the forest looking for the best firewood to bring back. While we were there, there was a gigantic dust storm. And there were lightning bolts and thunder. Then torrents and torrents of rain. Krishna said it wasn't just rain, it was a devastating rainfall. Torrential. And we couldn't move. It became freezing and we were shivering. We were just sitting in the trees and we couldn't see. We didn't know where to go or where not to go. And the whole night passed. And then the guru and his wife and all of the and all of the disciples, they all came looking, and finally they found us and brought us home. And our guru said, you have endured so many difficulties just to serve me. Because you have done this, I bless you. That all perfections will be yours. And Sudama was listening to Krishna. And he said, you are the Supreme Lord. But just to taste the beauty of these loving exchanges, you accept the role of a servant, of a disciple. You accept blessings. It is the exchange of your love. They went on talking for hours and hours and hours, so intimately as friends. And then Krishna, who's within everyone's heart and who knows everything, he said, Sudama, I could understand that you brought me a gift, something to eat. Why are you not giving it to me? And Sudama was, he just ate these very, very wonderful foods. And he's living in this, and he's sitting in this extravagant palace. And he's thinking, how could I give Krishna chipped rice? So he didn't say a word. He just put his head down like, I didn't bring anything. Krishna said, you did bring something. And Sudama didn't say. And then Krishna knew exactly where it was. He snatched that little satchel of chipped rice and took it. And he said, Sudama, if someone offers me even the most luxurious food without pure devotion, I have no attraction to it. But even if one gives me the simplest thing, a leaf, a fruit, a little water, with devotion, I take the greatest pleasure accepting it. And then he ate a morsel of that rice. And he said, just as putting water on the root of the tree nourishes the whole tree. By satisfying the Lord, one becomes greatly, one fulfills all one's requirements. And he went to take another morsel, but Rukmini stopped him. She said, you have already satisfied the entire creation by taking one morsel. There's no need for you to eat any more of this. And they went on talking for the rest of the night. And the next morning, Sudama left. And on his way home, he was thinking, how wonderful. Krishna's the Supreme Lord. And I'm just a little Brahmin with dirty clothes, without anything. And yet he embraced me with his own arms. He embraced me with tears in his eyes, so much affection, so much love. And he washed my feet. And he served me. And Rukmini was fanning me and praising me. He wasn't proud. He was humbled. The Lord is Dina Bandhu. He's everyone's best friend. And as he was thinking like this, he was overwhelmed. He was weeping. But then as he came close to his house, he thought, what is my wife going to think? Because I didn't ask Krishna for anything. I never asked him. And not only that, he didn't give me anything. And then he was thinking, this is Krishna's love for me, because Krishna knows if he were to give me anything more than I already have, I'm going to become proud, I'm going to become attached, and all my devotion's going to be spoiled. So the Lord gave me nothing just to protect me. How wonderful, how grateful I am. Then he came to his property, was very bewildered, because he saw an incredible palace. And there were parks and wonderful trees and all sorts of auspicious, colorful birds singing sweet songs. And he saw incredibly beautiful people walking around, finely dressed. There were flowers, fragrant. He was wondering, where am I? Am I lost? Did I come to the wrong place? What's happening? Then he saw his wife come out of the palace. And she was very finely dressed with ornaments. She was weeping tears, incessant tears from her eyes. She just came before him with folded palms. She couldn't say a word, and he couldn't say a word. They both walked together into the palace. It was more beautiful than the palaces of heaven. The beds were made of ivory. The pillars were made of jewels. It was wonderful. And Sudama understood. I didn't ask Krishna for anything. I gave him chipped rice and he gave me this in return. He and his wife, they lived together in that palace for the rest of their lives. But the beautiful thing that Srimad Bhagavatam reveals to us, their consciousness was exactly as it was when they were living in the straw hut. Even though they were eating nice foods, they weren't skinny anymore. They had nice clothes. They had all kinds of servants and maidservants and everybody around them. But they used everything for the pleasure of the Lord and the welfare of others. If one has great material things, to utilize them for a spiritual purpose is the perfection of life. And if one doesn't have anything, to utilize whatever little we have, our body, our words, our chipped rice, for the satisfaction of the Lord, is the perfection of life. There is no difference. And through this beautiful story, the Lord revealed how Sudama, he never became proud, he never became greedy. He utilized everything the Lord gave him in a spirit of love and compassion to Krishna and to all beings. And his wealth was not an impediment. In fact, it enhanced his spirituality. In this age of Kali, Lord Krishna appeared again as Lord Chaitanya. He had a beautiful golden complexion. Are they ready yet? We are ready for opening the darshan. How long ago did you put this here? I'm not responsible for the delay because I didn't know. Should I end immediately? I'll tell you just a little story about Lord Chaitanya. I'll tell you two stories. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Navadvip, he was playing the role of a devotee just to teach people how to be devotees. Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita how we can perfect our lives, and then Krishna came again to practically demonstrate how to follow it. And Lord Chaitanya especially taught us, because Krishna culminates Gita, man manabhavamad bhakto, always think of me. And the easiest, most direct and accessible way to always think of the Lord is to chant the Lord's names. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. All the power, all the grace, all the beauty of God are within the names. And according to our humility and our devotion, we can access that and realize that and purify ourselves. Om apavitra apavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva. Yasmaret pundarikaksham sapayabhyantara suchi. Because God is all pure, we are affected by what we associate. By connecting to the all pure, we become purified. Like putting an iron rod in hot fire, it becomes red like fire. But sometimes for the pleasure of the dearest devotees, the Lord reveals himself for who he really was. In Navadvip, there was one devotee. He was a brahmachari. His name was Suklambar. And he appeared to everyone to be a very common beggar. He lived in a little thatched hut on the bank of the Ganges River. And every day he would go out and beg to 11 or 12 houses. And usually, most houses don't give you anything. And when they do, they give you those old pieces of chipped rice that are in the bottom of a barrel. And he had a little cloth bag that he hung around his shoulder, and he would hold it out and they would just throw in this dirty little chipped rice. But it said he was totally engrossed in meditation on the divine day and night. And in the ecstasy of love, he was always crying. But he kept his love secret. And everybody in the town just thought he was just an ordinary beggar. But the Lord knows the heart. So one day, this is my friend Gary. Actually, long ago I taught him how to be a beggar. He had money. For those of you who read The Journey Home, you know, I went to India with nothing, but he went to Israel, worked on kibbutzes, and he didn't have a lot of money, but he had money. In fact, while I hitchhiked, he took a bus. The magic bus, which went all the way from India. Maharaji, how do you all? I went from Amsterdam or London? From London to New Delhi. But he got it in Istanbul. And we happened to meet in a very extraordinary way. And I said, let me teach you how to live as a sadhu in India. So I taught him how to beg. He said, but I have money. I said, don't. I said, don't worry about it. Because I didn't have money for so long, I forgot what it was like to have money. You remember it one day. Later on, a year later, we met again, and actually my parents sent me money for a ticket home, and I was living in a cave, and we met again. And he said, you have money, and you're still begging, and you're living in a cave? I said, honestly, Gary, it's been so long, I forgot how to spend money. I don't know what to do with it. You know, I'll get an airline ticket. That's all I'll do. But Suklambar, he was just a very simple beggar. Nobody knew who he was, what he was, how he was. But he would go every day to Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. And he would dance so happily. And one day, Lord Chaitanya, he revealed himself as the supreme divinity, as Krishna. And he sat on the altar. And he said, Suklambar, come here. And Suklambar was dancing and dancing in the kirtan. He was laughing. He was crying. He was jumping. He was so happy. And Lord Chaitanya said, in your past life, you were Sudama. You were that beggar. And I stole forcibly your chipped rice from you. And then the Lord lunged his hand in the bag of Suklambar and took out a handful of chipped rice and ate it. Then he stuck his hand, another handful, and another handful after handful after handful of chipped rice. And Suklambar Brahmachari said, my Lord, this is not fit for you. This is not even cleaned. It's not even cooked. I didn't even offer it. And the Lord was weeping. He said, I have never tasted such divine food. He wasn't eating the rice. He was eating the love of his devotee. The love of the heart of Suklambar. And all of the devotees there, they were besides themselves to see this exchange. And Lord Chaitanya said to Suklambar, on this day, because you didn't even give me this rice, I took it on my own. But because it pleased me so much, I give you prema bhakti, unalloyed devotion and love. And the scripture tells us that there are many rules and regulations in various religious systems on how to perform puja, how to perform our meditations, how to perform our offerings, how to live our life. But all those rules and regulations are always subordinate servants to love and devotion. Suklambar did not offer any mantra or tantra or yantra or mudra or puja. He didn't even offer it. The Lord stole it. He was so hungry for the love of Suklambar, he couldn't even wait for Suklambar to do any of these rituals. He stole it. Just to show the world forever that love and devotion is beyond every other consideration. He crushed all attachment to rituals to powder. By showing that the very essence and purpose is just this awakening of love. And years later, Lord Chaitanya, he was walking to Puri as a sannyasi. And he was so eager to go to Jagannath Puri that all of his associates were behind him. About half a kilometer or so. And there was just a little boy sitting on the side of the road with a pot of buttermilk that he was selling. He was calling out, "Does anyone want buttermilk?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm very thirsty." He said, "Would you like buttermilk?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You can drink it all. You don't have to pay anything." And Lord Chaitanya drank all of his buttermilk, everything he had. And the boy sat there with an empty pot. And Lord Chaitanya said, "My associates are back there. They will pay you nicely for the buttermilk." And he went on. Then Nityananda Prabhu and Mukunda and Damodar, they all approached. And the little boy, they saw him. They said, "Did you see a Swami?" He said, "Yes, I saw him. He drank all my buttermilk. And he told me that you would pay me." And they said, "We have no money. Before we left, he told us we're not allowed to take any money because then we won't be depending on Krishna during this journey if we have our own money. So we have nothing. We're sorry." And the little boy smiled and said, "Just tell Swamiji that it's for free and I'm just happy to serve him." And he had nothing else to sell, so he was about to go home. So he picked up his little pot, and it was so heavy he couldn't pick it up. And he looked in it, and like that simple lady in Vrindavan, his pot was overflooded with jewels. And he didn't care about the jewels. As soon as he saw that, he went running ahead and passed up all the other devotees and ran. To catch up to Lord Chaitanya, who was just sitting under a tree. And Lord Chaitanya told him, "I give, because you offered with love and devotion, you have all these jewels, but I will now give you the crest jewel of all goals of life. I give you liberation from all suffering forever. And I give you beyond that, eternal ecstatic love for God and compassion for all living beings. Now go home and share that great wealth with whoever you meet." And the little boy was weeping and crying and doing kirtan, dancing all the way home. A leaf of fruit or water. This is the power of devotion. In today's festival, a simple offering to the Lord of the flowers of our combined love. And even if you didn't pluck flowers today, in your mind you could be offering the flowers to the Lord. Through our intentions, through our chanting kirtan of the name of God, is offering the flower of the love of our heart through the chanting of these beautiful songs. It's a festival of offering of love. And now, I will end my talk. Because I'm supposed to end. Thank you very much.